Tonight we are going to turn back for, like I said, about 15 minutes. She told me 7:35-ish, so about 15 minutes, and we're going to introduce the book of Zephaniah. So just in case, if you are following us online and listening to this, we are shortening the study tonight due to an event with Awana. So I want you to be aware of that. So I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Zephaniah. I'll give you about 15 minutes to look for it. And by the time you find it, it'll be time to eat cake and ice cream with the Awana kids. Turn to Zephaniah and then page 197 in your workbook. I will say that not many people know much about Zephaniah at all. In fact, I think the average person in the average church, if you were to ask them about lots of these minor prophets, they really don't know what they mean and why they are in the Bible. They may recognize a few key verses, like Micah chapter 5, with the Messiah coming from Bethlehem, some things like that. But the majority of people really don't understand these. We don't preach through these much. You know, they're a little harder, a little more complex with their context and what they're doing. So not many people know much about these books. Let's start tonight and introduce Zephaniah. The title of the lesson, this looks like lesson 41, is "The Day of the Lord is Near." Now, I'm going to help you right from the start. You see in the title the phrase "Day of the Lord." In Zephaniah, the key theme and main point of the book is that phrase "Day of the Lord." Okay, so Zephaniah is going to focus on a time coming when great judgment falls upon the people. And ultimately, we see this later in the Bible in the book of Revelation with the final judgment. Now, I don't think Zephaniah is talking about final judgment in Revelation. He's talking about specific judgment on the people through the people or through the ones from Babylon, which we'll look at in just a minute. Here is a chart of our minor prophets that I put up as we start each book so you can keep straight who they are talking to. You'll notice that Zephaniah is in the longer list of the prophets who are prophesying or preaching to the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel has two, with Hosea and Amos. You've got three prophets preaching to foreign nations, whether it be Edom or Nineveh. And the remainder of, I think about seven of these minor prophets are specifically addressing Judah. Now, encouraging thing for you is you'll notice that Zephaniah, there's only three books left in the Old Testament. I think I'm right. Haggai, Zechariah, and then Malachi. And when we get through those three, then we're going to do a little bit of an intertestamental study, real brief, and then jump into the New Testament. So when we started this, you probably figured we will never even get through the Old Testament portion. Well, unless Jesus comes back in the next 4 weeks or so, 5 weeks, we're going to get through the Old Testament portion. Now, told you. So we're in Zephaniah. Now let's look at the chart on your page and start filling in the information. According to what I put up on the screen, you already know this. Zephaniah is a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. Just like the other minor prophets, he is ministering during the time of the divided kingdom. Now, on with Zephaniah, and also with the previous book of Habakkuk, I believe that you saw it's not only divided kingdom, but it's divided kingdom after Israel's fall. So these now are later minor prophets. Israel has been attacked by the kingdom of Assyria in 722 BC. After they fall in 722 BC, you've now got some later prophets that are issuing their messages to Judah, southern kingdom. So divided kingdom, but specifically after Israel's fall, and I think it's in 2 Kings 17, I think is where you find the fall of Israel. The primary message of the book of Zephaniah is to prepare. Specifically, prepare for God's day of judgment. So let me put this up here. I've already I've already said it, but I want you to see it, and that way it will stick a little bit more. Day of the Lord. Okay, that is the theme of the book of Zephaniah. Over and over and over in the book, you're going to find a reference to the day of the Lord. Okay, the day when judgment comes. Or you'll find a reference to that day. That is what Zephaniah primarily focuses on. So his message is, because of this coming day of judgment upon the people in Judah, prepare. Prepare. Now, let's look. Well, if you're listening online, I just dropped the recorder, so you heard a loud crash. I promise a rapture did not just occur, and the building did not just collapse. That was kind of funny, though. We really are glad you're listening online. We didn't mean to throw the recorder through the window just now, but it slipped. Okay, so at the start of Zephaniah, I think it's a good question to ask. Who is this dude? So your book says Zeph who? Like, most people have never heard of Zephaniah. The good news is you get information in the very first verse as to who he is. So look in the first verse of the book. It says in the verse as he begins this prophecy that the word of the Lord, okay, all capital letters, L-O-R-D, God's personal covenant name, the word of the Lord, it's the one that came to a man named Zephaniah, and then it gives some of his family tree. And this is going to be helpful. He is a son of Cushai. I don't have a clue who that is. Son of Gedaliah. Don't know who that is. Son of Amariah. Don't know who that is. But son of Hezekiah. I do know who that is. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. So this is a breakdown of his family history coming from Hezekiah, and he is prophesying in the days of another king named Josiah. Now remember, Josiah was a good king in the southern kingdom of Judah, brought about revival in the land. In the days of Josiah, who was a son of Amon, who was king of Judah. Okay, what does that tell us about the author of this prophecy? Your book says that Zephaniah was a prince in the royal house of Judah. Now, where are they getting that from? They're getting that from the fact that there are previous persons in his history who served, or one in particular, serves a king over Judah. So there's something going on here with some royalty with Zephaniah and his family history. Now, in particular, when you trace his family tree back about, what, three generations, you find out that he is descended from this king named Hezekiah. If you remember when we talked about the kings of Judah, there were several who brought revival to the land through their changes. And one was Hezekiah. Another was Josiah. So he is descended from a very well-known king in Judah. And if you count back with the generations, and makes him a great-great-grandson of the great king Hezekiah. I don't really want to compare this to anybody today, but for many, many years in our nation, really around the world, but in our nation, people revered, you know, this great spiritual leader, Billy Graham. Okay, so now we got Billy Graham is like this level, and then Franklin Graham under him, heading up Samaritan's Purse, and the shoe boxes are about to jump into. And then under Billy Graham, or Franklin Graham, his son Will Graham, who I got, he was actually in classes with me when I was at Southeastern Seminary. So if I were to kind of go back, I'd say, well, you know, Will Graham is like grandson of Billy Graham. Now, whether Will is any good or not, the point is he's connected to a great spiritual leader. And Will is straight, no big deal there. But the point is Zephaniah is connected to a great leader in Judah's history named Hezekiah. So because of his position there with the royalty and his connection with, you know, kind of like some political clout here with his family tree, he's got a way to address the sins and circumstances of some of the political leaders that other prophets would not have. So that's why your book says, because of this connection with his great-great-grandfather, he can speak now to the sins of some of the other leaders and princes. Now, anybody can do that, but Zephaniah's got a little easier way to do so because of his connection. So maybe he plays a Hezekiah card. I don't know. But he's able to get into people's lives in ways others could not. Now, the Bible says in that verse that during the time of his preaching, that he was preaching during the days when a king named Josiah was on the throne of Judah. This, again, is a little bit later in Israel's history. The reason this is important, it was during the reign of Josiah that a great sweeping revival went across the kingdom of Judah. Now, I want you to connect something for just a minute. They mention here he preaches several years before Josiah's reform and revival. Okay, here's what I want you to think about. I believe, and I think it's true even in Scripture, even if it's not specifically stated, but I believe that every time there was a great revival, whether it be in Israel, which they really never had any, or Judah, there was always some good preaching attached to it. Okay, you don't think about this. During the time Zephaniah is preaching, God is using his preaching, warning of the day of the Lord coming. At the same time, Josiah is on the throne, and I think God is using the faithful preaching with the leadership of Josiah, and it ends up bringing a great change in the land. They turn from idolatry back to God. They destroy their shrines and places where they were worshiping basically paganism. And I think you'll always find that revival is accompanied by faithful preaching. Okay, so that's what Zephaniah is. He's just a preacher during the time of a great revival for the people of Judah. And the last thing, in the first verse, he does make a very bold claim that as he is preaching, that when he got the message from God, it came as the word of the Lord. Now, I do not think that Zephaniah is being bold or arrogant, proud or arrogant when he says that. I think Zephaniah is trying to get the people to see what I am preaching to you is coming by the authority of God Himself. I hope on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, I don't say it, but I hope that's how it's coming. Like, I really hope it's, you know, the authority God is giving to me to attempt to understand and then share the text and make application. I hope that's the case. But Zephaniah says, this is a message God gave to me. It came from him, and it's the word of God himself. When you think about Scripture, the inspiration of Scripture, people wonder, did these people know that they were writing Bible? Okay, in their day, it wasn't Bible, right? They're just giving the message. But later it would be put into this book with 66 books, and we call this the Bible. We call it Scripture. And did they know that they were giving Scripture? I think sometimes they did. And the Apostle Paul, like, referenced that at times, like, hey, this is a message I have received from the Lord Himself. And so I think the prophets of the Old Testament were inspired and led by the Holy Spirit to give the message of God that we now have in our 39 books. And I think the apostles of the New Testament were inspired by God, and now we've got 27 books that God has kind of breathed out through these prophets and apostles. I think Zephaniah had a clue that when he stood to preach, he went on, this is authoritative. This is a message I got from God. I didn't find this in my Fruit Loops. Didn't find it in the Cracker Jack box. I didn't buy it off the shelf at Walmart. I didn't go online and get a doctorate degree so I could preach. This is something I got from God. That to me is a conviction Zephaniah has as he gives the message, and he's going to need it because it's going to be a strong message about the day of judgment.